What's going on, guys? Welcome back to No Reserves Radio. I'm your host, Ren. Daddy's home. With me, as always, Angelo. Angelo, before we start, some housekeeping, okay? Because I'm glancing through the recording studio here, and I see Richard, I see Mason, I see Dylan. What have you done?
I think the better question is, what haven't I done? I've done a lot. I have tried a lot.
Like, hold on. Here's a message from you that says, and I'm reading this verbatim.
Oh, God, I love this.
Join the football studio at Dick Armstrong.
What, you don't like what Dick Armstrong? What have you done? Do you actually? So funny enough, of all the people to criticize me, Dick Armstrong might actually be the like least warranted. Because do you know who he is?
No, I can't tell actually.
He actually used to be a scout for the Jaguars.
Dick Armstrong, that's an interesting way to go about it. Yeah. So no reserves basketball. We're doing it. It's been, God, over a year, I think. I think October was the last time we
actually
recorded. No, that's not entirely accurate. It's partially accurate, but it's not entirely accurate. I'm not taking full accountability. I have messages from Austin where it's like, Angelo says he's not doing it anymore, right? Yeah, right? Yeah.
But
like,
I did it.
There was an agreement.
I did the things.
Right. But like, we weren't going to continue doing that. But anyway, so a lot has happened. So let's very quickly recap last NBA season, because if I'm not mistaken, we recorded right before the start of the season, and then we never recorded again.
The start of last season, yes.
We can basically ignore everything because all that matters really is the playoffs, right? Like, that's all anyone cares
about,
especially you.
Yeah. Season, you are already getting the gist. I feel weird because I haven't done my monologue yet, but go on.
Oh, do you need to do a monologue? Do you do monologues now?
I do monologues now, yeah.
Oh, go ahead and do your monologue. I'll sit here and
observe. Funny enough, I think the summary would be better because the monologue kind of has to do with last season. So I think you should do your summary first, but then I got my monologue.
Well, so realistically, okay. The only thing that matters is the finals. So we'll talk about the finals. And for me, as a Pacers fan, if you've ever seen, and I'm saying that.
Oh, like, we missed the Pacers. I'm so happy.
We did. We did.
I'm so happy. That would have been a bad season. That would have been a really, really bad season.
There's the meme of the wrestling guy. Is it Vince McMahon? Where he's like, he doesn't want to talk about it. He just wants to remember it. That's last season for me. Because realistically, 7-game series, OKC Pacers. And everyone, if you're listening to a basketball podcast, you know how it went down. Shortly into Game 7, Tyrese Halliburton, Achilles tear, started off really hot. Like, it was over at that point. And I think that's always going to be one of those what-ifs, because I legitimately think the Pacers could have won that series. And I think everything that's transpired since, with Miles Turner leaving the Pacers, Tyrese missing this entire season, the Pacers as a whole paying for the blood magic they used last season, where suddenly every single player on the roster has been hurt. Overall, and I know you're biased because you're going to hate anything to do with the Pacers. I feel like that whole playoff run with the Thunder and the Pacers, it was enjoyable just because neither of them had won before. And we weren't just going to see, oh, Boston back in it, Lakers back in it. we were going to see a team that had never won before in the NBA finally overcome it. Did that make it more or less enjoyable to you that it wasn't one of those big market teams?
Less enjoyable.
Really?
Really?
I don't know. Like, because everything that, like, as a basketball fan, okay, all of those Pacer comebacks, you didn't enjoy that.
Not necessarily, no. Not
as a Pacers fan. I'm saying just as a pure basketball fan, you didn't enjoy.
No. Like, quite honestly, if you are a basketball fan, you want the game you love to thrive. And what was best for the game that you loved, whether you like this or whether you hate this, was the Knicks to be in that finals against, I'm assuming, OKC was inevitable.
But so, in that same vein, what is more likely to grow a game? A team that already has fans or a team that is growing a fan base? Right, because
probably a team that isn't like crossroads with a cornfield making it to the finals. Probably okay, that one.
You have been to Indianapolis, you know that's not true. Hold on, I'm gonna pull up the ratings for you're gonna have to bear with me here because it's been a while. My tab game is not as strong as it was. Viewership ratings by year. Why does it have projected ratings? So 2020 was the lowest. That makes sense. So 2025 was down versus the previous 3 years, but it was up versus 2021. Who was 2021? Was that the Bucks?
I actually think you're right about that. That was the Bucks year. What was that? Or was that Raptors? Was that Raptors Warriors?
No. Raptors was before that. Raptors was
2019. Bucks Suns. Yeah. That makes sense. Yeah. That makes sense.
So besides that, like obviously, like you have like the 2008 finals all the way to like the 2019 finals. The LeBron Curry years were ridiculously high. But viewership was up, ratings were about the same. Like
viewership was not up. They were down since like the Milwaukee and Phoenix. What are you talking about?
Are you looking at the graph?
No, you didn't send the graph. But you just said down from the previous three.
No, so there's a difference. There's ratings and viewership, right? So viewership is how many people watched it. Ratings was like how highly rated it was. Viewership was down slightly, like you're talking, so viewership for that was 10.3, the year before was 11.3. it was 1 million down. That's an accounting error when you're talking about a sport, let's be real.
You want number to go up, not down,
right? But the numbers have been going down for a long time with sports because of streaming. So like 2017, 20 million people watched that finals, which that makes sense. And then it dropped to 17 million, 15 million, 7 million. Like, the advent of streaming has led to more people pirating. And when you're pirating, you don't count as a viewer. So it's hard to really get a, like, feel of the pulse when it comes to that. But no, I would say that growing the game would be more beneficial to have teams that, you know, people don't hear about all the time so that, you know, you grow the game. Because not everyone's going to be a Lakers fan. Not everyone's going to be a Celtics fan. They want options. Most people are, but they do want options. But with... We're mostly going to talk about like the Tyrese situation. So I was looking this up today because I was getting ready for this because we decided to do this last night, full disclosure, like try to bring it back, see what happens. One third of the 30 highest paid players are out with significant injuries. What do you think the cause of this is? Is it the fact that we're now more like, I think it was Kevin Garnett who said it last year, that players are trying to be smaller and faster, and so they don't have the musculature system to support the freak of nature physical attributes they're using.
I don't think that's for everyone, though. Like,
well, yeah, there's some.
I actually would be curious, you probably have this in front of you, if weight has gone up or down over the years, because I'm actually willing to bet that like muscle mass has gone up, because that's just number go up. That's just how generally things go. People get taller, more muscular, and stronger and faster. So I'm not quite sure I like am willing to sign off on Kevin Garnett's PhD for the NBA.
So I don't have current numbers. I can try to find those. Hold on, let me see if there's like a more recent one.
But you have numbers from the last 5 years, I hope, or somewhere within the last 5 years, I hope.
Google AI has been fucking game changer. I've got numbers up until 2015, 2016.
Okay, use those.
So,
because then here,
it's
that's 10 years ago.
Yeah, it's a long time ago. That's scary. Yeah. So, but this chart does start in 1951, where the average weight was 195 pounds. Okay. I'm going to jump years. So I'll go 10 years at a time. So 61, they were 205. So they went up 10 pounds. 71, they were still 205. So it was pregnant. 81, they jumped up to 210. 91, where is it? 215, and then it makes a massive jump. So 2001, it goes to 215. 2011, it goes up to 220. 2015, so at every step, it either stayed stagnant or went up, right? After 2010, or after 2011, it starts to go down, where in 2011, it was 220, like 224. And then in 2015, it actually dropped to 215. So it did actually go down that year for the first time ever. So I'm going to see if I can find a more recent one. But it makes sense, because when you're looking at like players like Tyrese Haliburton or Cade Cunningham, they're taller than traditional point guards, right? Like the point guards of the 90s, 80s, whatever, with the exception of like Magic Johnson, were like 6'1", 6'2", 6'3". Now we have guys that are 6'5", 6'6", 6'7", 6'8", that are expected to move like a player that's 6'6", or 6 foot. So like they are a lot smaller than a player at another position at that same height. Because like we're more focused on flexibility, movement, explosiveness than we are stability. I can't find
most interesting. I still think it's more.
There we go.
Even if I am wrong on that assessment, which is possible, I still think it's more that the game has kind of evolved to a more skilled-based game, and that is harder on your knees, your ankles, the lower parts of your body.
Okay, so
generally,
this is not in freedom units. This is in kilograms.
Freedom
and
units.
This is 2008, so or 2018. So in 2018, the average player was 95.8 kilos. Last time a player was that small was 1992 on average. Now the average height has gone up, so that kind of lines up with what I'm saying, like, or what Kevin Garnett was saying. Because when you look at these guys, like, they're like, do you remember last year NBA 2K25 where like every player was like Gumby, where they were like just stick figures.
Yeah.
That's kind of what we're seeing. And then players are also playing more physical. Like, part of the regression of Ja Morant is the fact that he's not dunking anymore because he's 6'2" and he was trying to dunk on 7'1" guys that were just, you know, contacting him in midair. I don't know. I think it's oh, holy crap, you can actually track like BMI as well. The internet is awesome.
Brenner experiences the internet.
It's been a while. I don't know. Like, when you're looking at one third of the 30 highest paid players all being injured. Now, granted, Embiid, Davis, Kawhi, that makes sense. Like, those ones make sense. But when you've got like Trae Young, Giannis, Jason Tatum, Ja Morant, even though Morant plays physical, Sabonis, Halliburton, like, injuries are up and there is something causing it besides just they're playing too much, because like Mikal Bridges has never missed a game. Like, he has never missed a game. If you go back, John Stockton never missed games. Something has changed. And like, these aren't all like, I would not call Domantas Sabonis a high flyer or an athletic freak of nature. I would not call Trae Young an athletic freak of nature. Or a physical player. And to be fair, I don't remember how Trae got hurt, so maybe. But I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on like why?
No, like I was just saying, I think it's just because it's gone to a more skilled set, and that is leads it to be harder on your lower body. Just quite simply, more people are dribbling. Like, that's,
I mean, yeah, I guess
that's the long and the short of it.
Like, when your center is fucking isolating, the game has changed. I will give you that, but I don't know. I don't remember a time when we had this many star players all out with significant injuries at the same time.
Sometimes you get unlucky, buddy.
Let's real quick talk about a couple things. Did you see yesterday, full disclosure, we're recording this on Sunday. It's probably releasing on Sunday. We don't really know like how that's going to work, but it's going to happen. Did you see yesterday, the Mavericks-Grizzlies game?
I did not see that game, no.
So, really, it's irrelevant because the Mavericks are trash because Nico was a terrible GM.
He was fired.
And he got fired. But it's a two-point game in the fourth quarter. There are 23 seconds. I'm saying this off the top of my head. The numbers might be slightly off. There's 23 seconds left in the game. There's 18 seconds left in the shot clock. Actually, I can see it here. There's at this point in time, there's 21 seconds left, 17 on the shot clock. Klay Thompson demands the ball and chucks a logo three with 17 seconds to go, and he bangs it off the front of the rim. Is that... Let me rewind. So there's a point I'm trying to ask here. And I guess, is that kind of indicative of the team that Nico built? Like, just tragic? Because that's J.R. Henney level of stupidity. Oh. And it's not even an open three. It is not an open three. He has a man in his face and it's at the logo. Do you think it's just he thinks he's still prime Clay and can just drain that, no questions asked, go for 2-for-1?
I think that it's part of that is mental, yes. Because the thing I thought when you said Clay demanded for the ball is like, oh, he's using his experience as a way to, you know, curry favor, I guess, is the way I would describe it. But yeah, I mean, like, you have to have an ego to have it to be an NBA player for the most part.
Do you think he just understands the assignment that he is now a tank commander?
That he is now? No, he does not understand the assignment.
Because, like, that was some that was some tanking. Fun fact also, just this was something I was when I was looking at stats for the Mavericks, because I was going to talk about the game more because it was an interesting game. It ended with a lot of drama. But Cooper Flagg has played more minutes this season than Anthony Davis has played for the Mavericks since the trade last season. That's just Anthony Davis. In that vein, do you think the Mavericks move Anthony Davis once he's healthy? Because it kind of doesn't make sense to have him, yeah. What team do you think makes the most sense? Because I have a hot take. Not necessarily a hot take, but
I think I know your hot take. Silly enough, I think back to the Lakers would make the most sense.
Oh my God. For what? And like at that point, I feel like there has to be some kind of investigation. We're arresting people for gambling, even though every halftime break it's, you know, hey, gamble, sports bet, do it. Why aren't you sports betting? Do it. Also, we're going to arrest people for sports betting. There's other things that were happening with that. I'm not an idiot. Like, I get, like, there was the whole, like, getting players in. But, like, at a certain point, if you've created the culture that sports betting is so prominent in your game, you really can't be mad at people for sports betting. Right? That was a weird segue. We just started talking about something completely different. What were we on? Anthony Davis. Right.
Now you're being more focused now. I do agree with the hypocrisy of sports betting, and I think that we've kind of lost the plot with a lot of that stuff, especially considering, like, we have, I don't know, I just got done watching football. There are constant ads for sports books and daily fantasy and all that fun stuff.
Yeah, half the time if you want to watch it, you have to watch it on FanDuel Sportsnet.
That's another rant, is like, the amount of money, you know what? Fuck it. Spoiler alert. My monologue was going to be on LeBron James and how this season, especially for me, because the Lakers are 11-4 right now. They've done amazing without LeBron. And my monologue was going to be about just accepting that you're getting older and accepting that there is definitely a future NBA without LeBron James, no matter how weird that sounds or looks if you're a millennial. Regardless of all that, I think that we have somehow gotten into a space where an area can be hyper competitive, but also really fucking terrible for a consumer, in the sense that, like, in the NFL right now, to watch NFL games, you need an Amazon Prime subscription if your team plays on Thursday. You have Peacock, CBS for particular free games. You have NFL League passes, which, by the way, does not guarantee the Amazon Prime games. And you have I believe there is someone who does the international games for the NFL as well. I think the amount of streaming services has just, like, gone in the opposite direction of the way we thought that was going to go. Because now, it used to be if you had a cable subscription, you basically had, you'd have to get, like, a league pass, an NBA league pass, an NFL league pass, but you would have your games. Mm-hmm. I think we have gotten to the point now where we have found a way to make competition bad for your average sports consumer. And I don't know how you fix that.
I don't think there's really a great easy way to do it. I really think that everyone's kind of backed into a corner now. So, like, I pay for, or paid, season's over, for MLB Network for the Royals. But if they were playing
for their interest,
if they were playing against the Cubs or the White Sox or the Reds, I could not watch that game because it was supposed to be on. It's a blackout for my local TV. But it wasn't on my local TV because I would have to have a different network for each of those teams because I live within 50, 60, 70, 80 miles of those teams. And I kind of get it. Like, you're paying for broadcast rights for your team and you don't want people within your viewing area to view your team unless they're subscribed to you.
And they're willing to pay.
And they're willing to pay. But it's also a problem because what you're assuming is that everyone in your viewership area is a fan of your team. So again, I'm paying to watch the Royals. I'm not paying to watch the Cubs. So I think that if they were going to fix this, the only way you could do it is to kind of have an NBA League Pass or MLB League Pass, whatever the sport may be, where you pay per team. And that sounds stupid as hell, and I get that. It's just the only thing that makes sense to me because we're in a globalization time frame where you can live in Milwaukee, but you're a Miami fan. You could live in LA, but you're actually a Boston fan. Don't wear those shirts when you go out. And you should just be able to kind of subscribe to the team. Like imagine a system where, like, let's say it's League Pass and it's $10 a month for the base League Pass, but that gets you the national games. And then for every team you want to add, it's $1. So, like, if you pick one team, it's $11 a month. That's the only thing that would make sense to me. Again, it's not a good idea. It's just, I think, the only way to fix the problem of streaming oversaturation. Because, again, I don't care about the Cubs. I don't care about the Reds. I don't care about the Bulls. I mean, I do, like, as a sports fan. But I'm not paying for those. I'll watch them if they're on. But I shouldn't not be able to watch the team I want to watch because they're playing one of those teams and they're near me. You feel me?
No, I'm getting you. I'm definitely getting you.
That was a interesting diatribe. But going back to the post-LeBron James era, it is scary because it is coming. And I was thinking about this the other day. Like, obviously, the leagues are set up for the future. Like, there are players that are as good or better, potentially, in the pipelines for all the different sports. But, like, LeBron James is going to retire in 1 to 2 years. Sidney Crosby and Alex Ovechkin are going to retire in 1 to 2 years. Lionel Messi is going to retire in 1 to 2 years. Like, the entire landscape of my life of sports is changing.
It's about to change.
Yeah. And that's scary. It's change and it's terrifying because it means we're getting older and marching slowly, slowly closer to death. And it's all because of LeBron James.
I knew you'd find a way to blame LeBron in there.
Well, let's talk about this season then, because I don't want to talk about last season because it disappoints me. And I mean, this season disappoints me more. Like, the Pacers are, I don't even want to look. Hold on. Pelicans are 2-15. Are the Pacers worse than that? Pacers are 2-14. It's close. Wizards are 1-15. They're the real tragedy. Jordan Poole.
Can't have no splash this season. Poole.
This season. Just quickly, like, don't overthink it. Who have been your top five players this season? Because I want to see if they align with mine. So do your number five, and I'll do my number five.
Oh, shoot. You really put me on the spot.
Yeah, but we talked about potentially doing this, and that is on you for not being ready. Do you want me to do my number five first?
I think my number five is going to be Luka. Go on.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, our lists are not similar.
Yeah.
So I actually have Wemby here, and I think that...
I'm not putting Wemby there. Spoiler.
You're not putting Wemby on your 10 or your 5?
No. Nope.
The reason I do is because of the defense. So... No. So, like, have you looked ever at the season, all-time season blocks per game leaders?
I know Wemby embarrasses them.
Well, no, it's not that. I'm just, since, hold on, in the top 100, there are three seasons after the Stephen Curry revolution. Oh, four seasons. Three of the four are Victor Wembanyama. One of them is Miles Turner. Because players aren't attacking the rim as much, so blocks are fewer and further between. But besides that, there was a game, there were back-to-back games, the Spurs and the Warriors played at home and away last week, 2 weeks ago. And there was a point during the game where Victor Wembanyama was face guarding Curry and he was fighting through screens, which was hilarious. He's chasing him like UCLA cuts, like, and he's just sticking with him. There is so much to Wembanyama as a defender that I don't think any player in the history of the NBA has been able to replicate. Because not only is he an elite defender when it comes to paint defense, but he's keeping up with Wardell, Stephen Curry on the perimeter. Like, I think that there's an argument to be made that he is not in the top five, but like, I can't overlook the completeness of his defensive game. So who's your number four?
Nikola Jokic.
Oh my god.
You'll see.
I'm hating all of this. My number four is Cade Cunningham. And I look.
It's coming. Don't worry. That's coming too.
I don't hate Cade being higher. I do not hate Cade being higher. For me, I have Cade lower for one reason, and it's history.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of a prove it. Like, he is. You could argue him higher, sure, but.
Do you remember? Do you remember when we went down? Do you remember 2 years ago when I said Cade Cunningham was better than we were giving him credit for? I remember.
Yes. And I don't disagree with that. I think he is better than we give him credit for. I think he's played for a tragic 2020s Detroit Pistons.
Also, but
let's not act like this is just Cade. Like, Jalen Duren has taken a huge leap this season.
Because of Cade.
It's not entirely because of Cade. They're a symbiotic relationship. Is, like, Cade elevating Duren? Yes, but I would say Duren also elevates Cade. Who's your number three?
My number three. And honestly, I probably should be lower. Or actually, no, never mind. Sorry, I'm revising my list in real time.
Oh, sorry.
My number three is Tyrese Maxey.
Oof. I don't know about that.
You don't know about that? I don't know about that one, Chief. Why not? He's playing amazing. Like,
He's the player that we were expecting. And now I'm drawing a blank because I haven't talked about the NBA for so long. Handboy.
Handboy?
Handboy. Shoulder boy.
Shoulder. What the fuck?
Fultz. Marco Fultz.
Oh my God. Oh my God. That was. I would have, like. I never would have got there. I never would have fucking got there. Never
would have got there, is right?
I was so fucking confused. Tyrese Maxey.
Yes, he is the player that we wanted Markelle Fultz to be. And he is, granted, the 76ers, they're very up and down, but he is not holding them down, and that's actually why he's not higher on this list. And you'll see why.
Hold on, I need to check something real quick. I have an interesting theory. Am I able to pull this up this way? Yes, I am.
What's your interesting theory?
Hold on. I am. Tyrese Maxey leads the NBA in minutes per game by a very wide margin. So how much of his stats are inflated? That would be my argument.
They need him.
They absolutely. But I would say any of these players that we are listing, their teams need them.
Fair.
I'm not devaluing Tyrese Maxey's contributions. I'm just saying, like, he has comparable or lower stats to every other player we're listing, and he's playing 5, 6, 7 minutes more than them per game. So, like, he's also not shooting very efficiently. Speaking of which, Cade Cunningham, we didn't talk about that. Cade is shooting horribly. Just, I can't have a guard be that high up that shoots sub 30% from three. He's the only player on either of our lists that shoots below 40 from three. What number are we on?
I just listed my number three.
So my number three is... I'm debating. I'm going to go with Luka here just because 35-point triple-double is it's still insane and... Like, he's casually dropping, like, 50 points a night, which scoring is absurdly through the roof with that new, what's the rule called? Basically, where they're calling so many more fouls on the follow-through. Like, if you touch the hand at all during a follow-through, they're calling it a foul, which they never used to do. But, yeah, a 35-point triple-double... You can't argue that. And granted, the Lakers have been really good, but this has been the Luka revenge season we thought it was going to be. Do I think he's going to win MVP? No, because I think the two guys that I have above him are significantly higher probabilities. So who's your number two?
My number two is Cade Cunningham.
Oh, God.
Be honest, did you expect, even in this early date, did you expect the Pistons to be number one in the East and have a three-game margin?
Absolutely not. Absolutely not. But my question is, you, Angelo, you again, Mr. The three-point shot is so important. He's averaging 7 attempts per game, and he's hitting 1.5 of them.
Yeah, that's pretty rough. He'll get up there. He'll get it up, though.
I don't think so. I don't have that kind of faith in his shot.
I have so much faith. I have all the faith.
I know you do, but
the best he's ever shot was 35%. Going on a month now.
Yeah, it's still early though. Like, teams start terrible, teams start good. Like, it'll be interesting at the end of the season to see where he ranks. My number two is SGA. OKC is broken, and we'll talk more about OKC in a second, but I just he's not even playing fourth quarters. Like, he doesn't have to.
Yeah.
Now, granted, he is FTA. That name does stick.
God.
But
you hate
there's no, it's not hating.
It's hating.
There was a meme that I saw going around NBA Twitter yesterday where it was a stunt actor and they were like practicing scenes where like they were getting shot while running, and like it was SGA's new offseason coach. Like until he loses the allegations, he is that player. And that's, I'm not knocking him. Like, I hate the foul baiting that we have in the modern NBA, but I understand it's part of the game. So, like, I'm not knocking it. Who's your number one?
SGA.
Don't overthink it.
So I'm gonna overthink it. I'm gonna say my number one, and it's Nikola Jokic, and I'm gonna tell you that Vegas agrees with me overwhelmingly. His probability to win it is 81.7%.
Yeah, Vegas or Jokic suck ups. We've been going through the song and dance for half a decade now. Like,
he's having a better season than any of his previous MVP seasons. The Nuggets are solid.
The Nuggets have built a better team around him. I will give them that.
Granted, Aaron Gordon is out for 4 to 6 weeks at minimum. That sucks.
It is a lot more suited for his skill set. They brought in a center, and I believe he's actually averaging less minutes per game than he has.
I don't know that for sure.
If I'm not mistaken.
I can pull that up real quick.
Let's see.
Per game, he's about at his average.
Okay. But here's my question to you, Ryan, okay?
Yeah.
You say you just called SGA FTA, and you say this is bad for the game. Why? And what would you do to change it?
What do you mean, what would I do to change it? Like, what would I mean, how would I change?
I mean, the game is like this by design. We have made rules to make the game more like this. So what would you do to change it?
So, like, the thing is, we do have rules in the, like, the rule book about flopping and excessively trying to draw fouls, because the issue is, like, most sports fans at this point are box score watchers, and I don't know what caused that, but at the end of the day, you're looking at, oh, Luka dropped 37 last night, Shea dropped 34 last night. You didn't watch the game, and you're not going to watch the game, and you're not even going to watch the highlights. You're just looking at the box score, and you see this player is averaging this amount. And I think the NBA has realized that and realized they're going to get more traction from, like, secondary advertising revenues, like highlight videos and sports podcasts and wherever they get revenue from.
iInternet.
So they're not having as much of an issue with that, because at the end of the day, you're getting people to click on things and celebrate these players because, oh, they're averaging 38 this season. It doesn't really matter if you're not watching the game, if 15 of those points came from the line. But if you're actually a fan of the game and you're watching the game, there is nothing entertaining about watching teams shoot free throws.
You know about dead internet theory, right?
Yes, I know dead internet theory.
So what if we actually have like a dead fan theory? Ren's on board with this. Ren is completely on board with this. But no, seriously, like, I didn't think... So here's the thing. I didn't think dead internet theory...
Hold on. Go ahead. Hold on. I just almost choked to death on a freaking lemon drop.
You're welcome, man. You're welcome.
From a joke. Like, I'm not kidding. Like, I sucked in and it went down my throat and I was looking into the eyes of death itself and then I coughed and now I'm okay. But, like... I just almost died. I would have
had to call 911 live on here. And it would have been my joke. And it would have been my joke that killed you. That sounds like justice. Anyway.
That's likely anyway. How I'm going to go out, let's be real.
But anyway, like, when you look at AI, there is more content now made by AI than there are by actual people.
Oh, yeah, it's alarming. It's scary.
And I think that if you look into to basketball, by the way, I was going to bring this back around. If you look at basketball, I think there are more people who, like, will watch a box score rather than watch a game now. And so, yes. Do you think that will change the way content is delivered? Because AI, Ren, and Angelo might be able to speak to people's monkey brains and wanting to see numbers go up.
So I think that part of the simplification of sports, and I know you're going to disagree with this, but I want you to be open-minded and wait until I finish, because I'm not blaming the game itself. The prevalence of football in North American sports has created this culture. And what I mean is, like, yes, there are people like you and Alex that are going to sit there, and in between every play, they are going to look at what the defense is doing, look at what the offense is doing before the snap, and read into the coaching side of it, the quarterbacking side of it, the defensive adjustment side of it. And that's cool and awesome. But at the end of the day, I think part of what has created the popularity of football and what has led to the simplicity of other live sports, and I say that just because football is the only sport where the clock is running when the game is not being played, is the fact that in between plays, from when the ball is snapped until the down, and then until the next snap, there's a lot of time doom scroll TikTok or doom scroll Reddit, and you really only have to pay attention for a couple minutes, an hour. And so it kind of creates an environment where people don't have to pay attention, and they're so used to that. And then when it comes to other sports, they start doing the same thing. Because when we were kids, phones were not as prevalent as they are now. But, like, I find myself all the time, if I'm watching something, I am constantly checking my phone or doom scrolling. And I think that that culture shift lined up perfectly with the explosion of football, because, like, football's always been big. I'm not going to say it hasn't, but it really feels like it has elevated in the past decade.
1000%. So what you just said is why I golf. So when I golf, whether it's, you know, 9, 18, whatever, I keep my phone in my car and I just focus on golfing. I think you need to golf, Ren. You gave me some yellow flags, buddy. You said I'm always constantly checking my phone while I'm watching. Yep, you need to golf, buddy. Keep the phone in the car. Just enjoy the scenery.
Go ahead. I don't do that, but I do enjoy golfing. I'm terrible at it, but
come on down. I got a membership.
Where were we?
18.
What were we fucking talking about that led to that side quest?
Doesn't matter. I got us here.
We were talking about free throws and how people were box score watching. But, like, if you enforce the rules on the book, like, player falls to the floor and nobody's within a foot of him, technical foul. Like, just fucking call it. Because if you slap their hand a few times, they're gonna stop. But let's talk about two teams real quick, because we're coming up to the end. So we'll talk about this. We are. That's I haven't talked this much in a long time. My voice is starting to crack some.
Did you miss it? Do you enjoy it? Do you enjoy your time here?
It has been fun, but let's continue. So we'll talk about the Thunder real quick and how fucking broken they are. Because they have Jalen Williams, who is fucking amazing, and they've got Shea, and they've got Chet, and they've got...
He's the best player in the NBA, Shea.
I wouldn't say that. But the scary thing is they have 4 picks in the upcoming NBA draft.
Do you know how, actual nice person, but low-key scum of the earth, Kenny, king of the fourth quarter, Kenny, does these, and this is why I'm going to say scum of the earth, don't worry, I'll come back to this, does these videos where you can, take a 60 overall player and then do a second, and then you just keep doing the trade over and over and over and over again until you got a super team? That's kind of what the Thunder did, except in real life, somehow.
That's not entirely true, because, most of these picks most of these picks are from the Paul George trade. And if you go back to that trade, yes, it is one of, it's not Luka for AD terrible, but it's a terrible trade in hindsight. Yeah. At the time, getting Paul George meant you got Kawhi Leonard. Kawhi was coming off the Raptors championship. Paul George was third in MVP voting and third in Defensive Player of the Year voting. That was a good trade at the time. And anyone that tells you it was a bad trade at that time, they don't know ball. In hindsight, it's a horrible trade. At the time, it's a good trade. But so you have Shea, you've got Jalen Williams, you've got Chet, you've got Iheart, you've got Caruso, you've got Dort, you've got all these players, and then you have 4 picks in the upcoming draft, and obviously their own pick is not going to be a lottery pick, but they've got the Clippers pick, right? They've got, which the Clippers are currently the 4th worst team in the West, and that puts them 5th worst and 6th worst. I don't know. I'm not doing basic math. And then they've got the 76ers and they've got the Utah Jazz. So, there is a legitimate chance these are going to be lottery picks. And obviously, it would be absurd to keep all of them. I feel like you have to flip at least 1 or 2 of their picks for futures because you just don't have the roster spots for incoming talent. But they're basically set up in a way that we are going to be dealing with the OKC Thunder, barring injuries, which, God forbid, no matter what you feel about a team, you don't want players to get hurt. Barring injuries, the Thunder are going to be mainstays in at least the conference finals, but probably the finals for at least 5 or 6 more years. Is there anything you can see, whether that be Jalen Williams developing an ego and wanting to run his own team, or Chet getting injured because he's the giant, in a way that the Thunder aren't as scary as they actually look?
I mean, even if they get injured one season, that just means they have they have the capital to literally pick whatever player they want in the NBA and acquire him.
But is it are we basically just praying that Wembanyama and Stephon Castle and all the other talent in San Antonio pulls it together and just beats them every year?
I don't think there's a hope.
I think you are severely underrating that Spurs team.
Didn't you say they were going to make the finals last year?
I didn't expect Wemby to have blood clots. That's not even that's not an issue you're going to, predict. Oh, he's going to have high ankle sprains. Sure. Fair. Blood clots. Wasn't on my bingo card.
Wasn't on the bingo card, huh?
There was Fox got hurt. I think Castle got hurt. It just happens. It's injuries. On the flip side, Milwaukee Bucks currently 8-9, and obviously I'm not talking about the Bucks for some ulterior motive. I love the Bucks. The Bucks are a great team.
No.
So Milwaukee doesn't have a tradable pick until guess when? Because I'm guessing you don't know this.
I don't. 2028.
Oh, keep going.
Keep going. 2030.
Keep going.
2031.
2031 is the next tradable draft capital that the Milwaukee Bucks have. They are paying Damian Lillard $23 million to not be on their team until 2030. Giannis is about to be 32 years old, and he's on the last season of his contract. Do you think, one, the Bucks are in any way positioned to make a run, or do you think Giannis requests a trade, plays out the final season of his contract, and leaves as a free agent, or re-signs and finishes his career with the Bucks?
I think he's leaving. I think this whole notion we went that Giannis is this great guy and he's gonna be
I don't think Giannis. Let's not say that if he wants to leave, he's a bad guy. I think Giannis is a pretty upstanding.
He would be
person.
To you.
I can delineate the two. There's a separation between the player and the person. I think Giannis is a good person. If he left. I can't blame him because that's a terrible use of assets. Because there's a difference between leaving because you can't win and leaving because your management system fucked up. Because if you talk to Pacer fans that I know, I am always the Miles Turner Pacer apologist.
How'd that go, buddy?
What I'm saying is, Miles Turner is probably worth about $23 million, but because you did the Lillard thing, you're basically paying Miles Turner $50 million max contract kind of shit. That's a terrible use of assets. Now, I don't blame Giannis if he wants out for that reason. If it's a situation where you're just not good enough to get over the hump, or you're in a market that isn't great at attracting talent, that's a cop out. Figure it out. But if your franchise is setting you up for failure, sure, get out. That's different. But do you think he plays out the contract, or do you think he tries to chase the ring earlier and requests a trade?
I think the Bucks trade him.
Bucks trade. But what do you even ask for?
The sun and the moon.
But who's paying that?
Someone desperate enough, hopefully.
I would have to look at cap situations, because you're also talking about adding a max player. The Spurs could probably do it, but that starts with Stephon Castle, and I don't think I move Stephon Castle for a 32-year-old Giannis. Could the Thunder do it, actually?
The Thunder have the capital to acquire any NBA? Yes!
No, the capital, yes. I'm talking cap space. Because what's their payroll? Oh my god.
He's realizing it's possible.
Chet kicks in next year.
Jay Will
kicks in next year. Cason Wallace is still on a rookie deal. Oh my god, if you traded Dort and Hart and Stein, you could do it.
So just do it.
Oh my god.
And be impressive. You would have someone that you could put, like, yeah.
Yeah, you have someone you could
put on Wemby.
Wemby's a little, he's tall, but he's a little twig. Giannis could bully him around a little bit, you know. And, yeah.
Yeah.
Hold on, now I need to pull up the trade machine. NBA trade machine. I just need to see if this is actually, like, legitimately doable. Add team one. In a way. Okay, see. Because that would be trading him out of conference, but, like, that's evil.
And just be evil. Yeah, exactly. Just let the Thunder be the new villains of the NBA and send Giannis there. Giannis gets to
be the headline
of the villain. He gets to be the KD of this upcoming generation. And, yeah. Then Ren has nothing, and then Ren has to sit here.
Trade found.
Oh, sorry. I thought you were going to contribute something. But no, then Ren has nothing. Then Ren's like, oh, he's not a bad guy, and then he gets to watch Giannis and the Thunder dominate year after year after year, and then he'll get Giannis fatigue.
Oh my god, it's possible. If you traded I Heart, Lou Dort, and Sorber plus picks. The weird thing is, the trade machine says I have not affected the winning percentage of either team. I don't agree with that. Oh my god. It's possible. It is fucking possible. Do I have to? That's broken.
And then the NBA would be over all over again, just like in 2015. And this time there'd be no LeBron.
I have nothing. Like, just looking at that brings me fear and pain.
It would bring me joy. It would bring me so much joy. So just all the joy. Just
watching. So let's start to wind down. I don't want to think about the bad man anymore.
Just getting started, we're gonna start to end.
No. You can hear my voice cracking. We will get there. We will get that back. But let's start to end on an uplifting note.
Okay? That wasn't uplifting.
I have a better uplifting note for me. Chris Paul is retiring at the end of the season.
Is he a top 10 Emmanuel point guard? Paul. No. Top 10 is too deserved. Top 5 point guard.
Top 5, all time.
Yeah.
Magic's above him. I think we agree.
Yeah. I am with you on that.
Steph Curry's above him.
I'm with you on that. After that, I'm not sure how many more I can be with you.
Oscar Robertson's above him.
I'm not with you.
Oh. I think Isaiah Thomas is probably above him.
Be with that.
And then I think you're splitting hairs whether you would take Stockton or Chris Paul because they've won the exact same amount of rings and statistically it's pretty close.
And then there Chris Paul is in the top 5.
But like Shea, Halliburton, and Luka.
We don't think about that right now. We don't think about that.
I'm desperately trying to think of a fifth to push him down. LeBron James.
I don't think that counts as a point guard.
He's listed as a point guard on Basketball Reference.
This guy. Now he's doing the officially on Basketball Reference that me and Austin did. When we got you on the top 5, and now This is full circle. This is you finally admitting, yes, you were got during that. Thank you. I appreciate it.
Steve Nash.
Absolutely not.
One season of Derrick Rose.
This guy.
That one season was better.
That one season. One season of Deron Williams.
You're getting desperate, friend.
That was like two seasons. Rajon Rondo in the playoffs.
Oh.
Hey, Headband Rondo was a whole different beast. Allen Iverson, if you consider him a point guard, I don't, but you might.
I don't either. I consider him a shooting guard.
Honestly. Okay, bear with me here. Okay? I need you to approach this with an open mind. Are you approaching it with an open mind?
As best I can.
Damian Lillard is a better point guard than Chris Paul.
Ooh.
He's like number three in three-pointers all time.
Mm-hmm. He does have playoff moments, too.
Dame time was a real thing. I don't think that's as hot of a take as I thought it was.
No, I don't think so either. I don't think
so. Fuck either. You. Chris Paul number six. I didn't even get to Tony Parker, Kyrie. Bob
Kyrie's Cooper. Not retired.
Oh, does it have to be? Half those people aren't retired. Steph Curry's not retired.
Oh, that's fair. That's fair. Never mind. I'll give it to you. I'll let you out. I'll let you out of the chokehold I had you in. You would have had to give Chris Paul kudos for doing a thing, being good.
I will never. Every year on 2K, my favorite thing to do is the State Farm quest because you always get to play Chris Paul. And like, I always just dunk on him over and over again, and it makes me feel good.
I hope one year they just make Chris Paul's packages the meta.
I wouldn't use them. I wouldn't use them.
I know you wouldn't. I know you wouldn't, buddy.
All right. What else? Anything?
So, looks like I have a free update. So, what do you hope to get out of this NBA season as opposed to the previous ones?
I'm a Pacer fan. I'm currently living through my worst nightmare. Again, we used all the blood magic last year.
You did? And it was a lot.
Paying for it now.
You are.
I'm really hoping for a high
you're
lottery.
Starting point guard right now.
Andrew Nembhard. It's actually not that bad.
Okay.
Yeah, no. Like when you're looking at the Pacers like rotation, like if healthy, it's not that bad because it's Nembhard, Mathurin, Nesmith, Siakam. It's when you get to the five and you start questioning whether Isaiah Jackson or Jay Huff is better than the other is when you run into the problem. And then you get into the depth and you've got TJ McConnell, who's old, Ben Shepherd, who's streaky, Obi Toppin, who's Obi Toppin. Like, he's never going to be a needle mover. So really, what I'm hoping for out of this season is good luck on the lottery. I would love to get Cam Boozer or something like that.
Okay. I like that. What are you hoping to accomplish with this?
Enjoying it again. Let's see what happens. I think that while we were doing this was the most I was locked into the NBA as a whole.
Did you enjoy that part of it, being locked into the NBA and enjoying it?
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Because, like, when we aren't doing this, like, if so while we're doing this, like, when we're recording, like I find myself like putting on other NBA games besides just the Pacers. Like I was I watch more games and I enjoy basketball more.
So you got to see Wemby, you got to see Jokic, you got to see LeBron, you got to see Curry
like
more. Not that you wouldn't have more.
Because like as a basketball fan, like obviously I'm gonna like if I see a game is on and it's Wemby or Jokic or Shea, I would want to tune in. I'm talking like I'd be sitting there and it would be like, oh, the Wizards are playing the Nets. Might as well. Like enjoy basketball to enjoy basketball. It wasn't like star player hunting.
Interesting.
But yeah. Besides that, for this season, I'm really, really just hoping that the Thunder do not repeat.
I think it's more possible than you want to admit.
It's very possible. I would say, like, if I was a betting man, and I'm not, I would bet that the Thunder win again.
But
I don't want to see it. I would rather see the Knicks win, and I'm saying that as someone from Indiana. Again, I get it. It's part of the game. But, like, I hate the way the Thunder play. Because Shea is that good. He doesn't need to foul bait. Lou Dort and Caruso are legitimately good defenders. But, like, because they're good defenders, they're allowed to, like, bear hug players. And they just get away with it. And I hate that. Like, I don't like unethical basketball. Especially not when you're good. Like, again, it's like in 2K, like, the teams that we've played that are, like, significantly better than us, but they're playing cheesy. It's like, dude, you're better. Like, why are you doing that?
You're better, white. Yeah. I like that analogy. I like them.
It's asinine. Like, just play the freaking game. Don't shoot free throws. Nobody wants to see free throws. And for God's sake, call fouls, like actual fouls. Because I think part of going back to what we were talking about earlier in the episode, when it came to like players getting injured more frequently, I think part of it is the physicality of the game is at such a high level because quote unquote good defenders are allowed to get away with so much more. And that physical play takes a toll on the offensive players. And I think that that is part of the problem.
I like that.
Yeah.
So I think the thing I struggled with more the first time is just, I guess, experiencing burnout. Like after you left, I'm pretty sure I took like a month off and then I was a lot better after that. So I do think like moving forward with shows, I need to kind of, either A, have a plan to do like to take a break off for an extended period of time without me, or B, just have a month for each show where I do not record that show to kind of refresh and reset myself.
And obviously there would be issues with that with the basketball podcast currently, but I get it.
It wouldn't be now. I'm not saying now. Like how many years did we do that basketball podcast before I was at like that? It was multiple years.
It was like 2.5.
Yeah, so I'm just saying, respect the fact that I'm also doing like other things on the side, and we'll be fine.
Yeah.
And yeah, I need time with other things. I take breaks with football too. It's not a personal issue.
All right. God, we've been going forever. So I did the intro. You take the outro.
So if you're listening to this. Something that we don't do in the outro that I really wish, and I honestly should take more accountability with the outro, is to thank everyone for listening. Anyone who took the time to listen to us talk about this, I appreciate you greatly. Have a wonderful day. Make sure to follow us on Twitter. Make sure to follow us on YouTube, social medias. RSS is our main platform. Any way you want to support, you can. Thank you guys. I love you guys. You have a wonderful day.
Go listen to the old episodes because I used to thank everyone every episode, you dick.
No, he didn't.
Go listen to him. Yes, I did.
Peace out, guys.
Bye.